In this country, the Citizens Climate Lobby, or CCL, has a plan to reduce carbon emissions with a fee and dividend program. Wharton Sinclair is a CCL chapter leader for the Northwest Chicago suburbs, and Rick Knight is the state co-coordinator for the CCL. Sinclair says the Citizens Climate Lobby has a contingent of volunteers participating in the Paris summit.
Well, we have about 30 volunteers who have gone over there, and we have a lot of we've had a lot of preparation and planning to bring our particular perspective on climate legislation up to the fore in Paris. And I think that's, to a large extent, happened. At this conference, as opposed to many previous conferences, the idea of a market-based or price-based mechanism to deal with global warming has been a big one.
And so, we'll get into that legislation in just a moment. Rick, what do you think of the progress and the possibility of a meaningful agreement and then implementation following the global climate summit in Paris?
Yeah, our take on it has been that there has been some progress. Of course, it's difficult to get 196 nations to agree to anything, but we think that a lot of the progress will be taking place after the conference, with other groups that are working with nations to implement what we would call honest carbon pricing.
In this country, the Citizens Climate Lobby is suggesting legislation creating a fee on fossil fuels and the resulting dividend going to homeowners. How does this work to reduce carbon and address global warming?
It creates an incentive. When the fee would be placed on fossil fuels at the mine, wellhead, or port of entry, based on the amount of carbon in the fuels. And what that will do is to propagate through the market. So if you have goods that are made with more carbon versus goods that are made with less carbon, it's going to be a price differentiator for those goods. So it's going to affect millions and millions of small decisions that people make every day, and will tend to push our consumption behavior towards less and less carbon.
Yeah, we expect, too, that investors will really be affected just as much as consumers and businesses to make decisions that will reduce their exposure to the fee by choosing more renewable energy, more low carbon, or high efficiency ways of making their products and services.
So walk me through this a little bit. A fee imposed $15 a ton on the to start with, at the wellhead or at the mine, wherever these fossil fuels are coming from, and then that trickles into upward toward the products that these carbon materials end up in. So plastic materials would end up costing more, gasoline would end up costing more. Is that the way you see it working?
Yes, that's true. I mean, all of the goods that directly contain carbon, but also, for example, food goods that come from a great distance would be at a disadvantage relative to locally grown food. Farms that operate with lower fossil fuel inputs or are able to raise their crops with less fossil fuel inputs would see a benefit in terms of their pricing in the marketplace.
And then the answer for all of us who have to pay more for these products because of the fee that's been imposed up front is the dividend. Talk
exactly
a little bit about that.
The dividend is a uniform dividend per adult with a half share for each child. It would go to all households in the U.S. and would essentially compensate, would return all of the revenue from the carbon fee to households. So it's not really, I mean, we have a debate internally often about whether to call the carbon fee a tax or a fee, and we're not afraid of the word tax, but we consider a fee to be an accurate statement because all of the money is returned to the public. And in a way, it's just as fair to say that this is a mechanism for paying people to use less carbon in terms of the dividend as it is to call it a tax or a fee that they pay into.
And an important distinction is that the money that the households get from the carbon dividend is not in proportion to their energy use. So those who conserve or use less, use public transportation, whatever decisions they make, will actually come out ahead.
How did the CCL arrive at a starting cost of $15 per ton of carbon, Rick?
That's a good question. We wanted to start relatively low. That would add about 1.5 cents to a gallon of gasoline, or 15 cents, I should say, to a gallon of gasoline, which is manageable, you know, definitely within the price swings we've seen. And we wanted to escalate rather quickly so that businesses and investors have the anticipation effect of seeing that investing in low carbon alternatives will be beneficial to them.
And is there any idea at this point of what kind of funds that fee will generate? What's the per household breakdown? I guess the ultimate question is how much am I going to get?
In that first year with the $15, the adult recipient would get about $25 a month in dividends. And for a family of four, of course, that would scale accordingly. And that would increase every year by that $10 compared to $15 per year.
So the CCL sees an economic benefit to this dividend. Can you talk a little bit about that, Wharton?
Yes. The dividend goes uniformly to all households, and it really puts cash into people's pockets. That creates a stimulus effect on the economy. So we've done some economic modeling with a group called REMI, Regional Economic Models Incorporated, and the net impact on jobs and GDP is actually positive from carbon fee and dividend. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're not removing money from the economy. We're actually we're distributing money to households which are likely to spend it. And we're also triggering a lot of investment because businesses will know that the future that is coming needs to be a lower carbon future. So they will be investing in renewable energies, low carbon energies, and that will also be a stimulus for the economy.
And the dividend is designed to actually pay for the increased energy costs. They don't have to spend it
on
that. They can spend it on whatever they want. But talk a little bit about the energy costs. You said gasoline would go up about 15 cents per gallon. What about home heating bills?
Home heating bills would go up about 3-4% based on that original $15 a ton carbon fee and would scale accordingly. And of course, the dividend goes up accordingly as well. Electricity made by coal would actually go up the most, but we've already seen such a shift towards renewables and natural gas, which has much lower carbon emissions, that it would just accelerate a trend that's already taking place.
Lower income households have less to spend, and they spend a greater percentage of their net income on energy. How will lower income households be affected, and will the dividend cover the increase in energy costs they have to pay?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question that we've paid a lot of attention to. Our calculations show that the lower income households will come out quite a bit ahead, because even though they pay a larger percentage of their income on energy, that's mainly because their income is so low to begin with. We calculate that in that first year, lower income households on average would see their income increase by about 2.5% just based on that dividend.
That's Rick Knight, also in the studio, Wharton Sinkler. They're both volunteers with the Citizens Climate Lobby. We're talking about legislation that would assess a carbon fee on fossil fuel providers and pay a dividend to households. Citizens Climate Lobby, so tell me about the conversations you have with lawmakers, Wharton. How do you explain this, and what is their reaction to the CCL proposal?
This is a big focus of CCL. We really use volunteers, and we essentially need people as opposed to a lot of environmental organizations which want your donations. We want your engagement. And the place we engage, or one of the main places we engage, is in communicating with lawmakers, particularly at the federal level. Our focus is, as we've been talking about, this carbon fee and dividend legislation. That is a federal legislative proposal. And so we've had over 1,000 meetings with federal legislators.
These are volunteers across the country.
All those meetings. All volunteers throughout the country. We organize in chapters, and our chapters focus on their local member of Congress as well as their senators. And we talk to to lawmakers. They're very receptive because we are voters. We are not paid lobbyists. We are citizens. And we think this is a very healthy thing for our democracy to be doing, to use our democracy and to empower citizens to create political will to actually do something substantive about climate.
And Wharton or Rick, have either one of you had individual conversations with congressmen or senators?
Yes, many.
So tell me about how those conversations have gone. Do they actually make a distinction between fee versus tax? And if they make that connection that a fee is nothing more than a tax in their minds, do they sort of just tune out?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. We've had several meetings face-to-face, and most of our meetings are with staff, with environmental staffers, mm-hmm. but the reactions have varied quite a bit. We had a meeting with a Republican legislator last year in which we had planned a 20-minute meeting. It turned out to be almost an hour. He was very interested in the details of our policy and engaged on the details of and how it would work in the economy.
And Wharton, is anything you want to add based on the conversations you've had with congressmen?
Yeah, I think one surprise that many listeners may find surprising is that we very seldom encounter an actual denial that there is a problem, even from both parties. And generally, we find them interested, and usually the more they learn about the policy and especially about the fact that it's consistent with economic growth and prosperity, they get more interested. I think there's a growing realization in Congress that this is a problem and needs to be dealt with. And it's very hard to see how we would be actually addressing it using less carbon without having the use of carbon be associated with the cost. So that's really where we plug in with these legislators, and we really are, it's very exciting, very empowering, and energizing to talk to people and have them understand this proposal and see that they really get it and see that it's a very good idea.
Legislation has not actually been introduced anywhere, though, at this point, correct?
It's actually very similar. I mean, essentially, our plan has been introduced in past Congresses. Right now, there is no current bill, but there have been bills. It's difficult to get these things passed. We are really looking right now to build support among Republicans. So a big focus of CCL currently is to reach out to Republicans, especially Republicans who see the problem, and understand that they need to do something. And among that demographic in Congress, we're really seeing a lot of interest because they are looking for a solution. They may not be talking about it very much publicly, but it's very energizing.
And Rick, do you have confidence that something like your legislation has a chance when Congress couldn't even agree on a gas tax, while gas is at $1.80 a gallon, a gas tax that would fund roads, bridges, and transit?
Yeah, we have a saying that politicians don't create political will, citizens create it. Politicians respond to it. So that's why we are working deeply from the grassroots, working on the media, working through the public, to show these legislators that it's in their interest. And we believe that over time, with relentless effort, we can make this happen. One of the arguments we make is that this is a market-friendly solution. We don't see it forcing anybody to change the way they live. They just have to recognize that the embedded costs in the fossil fuels have to be paid for.
What do oil producers and energy providers think of this proposal? What's their position on fee and dividend?
It's interesting that ExxonMobil has come out, and many other oil companies, in favor of a revenue-neutral carbon tax as the fairest, most transparent, and most predictable way to deal with climate change. In fact, ExxonMobil had some representatives at the Paris conference who have come out stating that if governments don't do something to price carbon, we are facing catastrophic climate change. This is from the biggest oil company.
Rick Knight, thanks for your time. Wharton, thanks for coming down from the Northwest suburbs to talk with us in the GLT studios.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Rick Knight is the state co-coordinator for the Citizens Climate Lobby. Wharton Sinkler is a CCL chapter leader for the Northwest Chicago suburbs. You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy.